RNIB Scotland has launched its communication failure report at the Lighthouse in Glasgow. The report looks at the difficulties many blind and partially sighted people face in Scotland in obtaining all kinds of medical information in their preferred formats. James Adams is the director of RNIB Scotland and he was hosting the event.
I'm here to introduce RNIB Scotland's report, Communication Failure. So back 10 years ago, when the Patients' Rights Act was actually passed, which was for us a sort of landmark piece of legislation, it was quite specific in which it said you have the right to be given information about your care and treatment in a format or language that meets your needs. Unfortunately, almost 10 years on, we're in a situation where most blind and partially sighted people that we have spoken to, when they actually request information, it's accessible to them, they aren't able to do so, and the health board have said that they don't contain that information and there isn't proper mechanisms to be able to actually receive it. What this means in practice is that you have blind and partially sighted people who might have a particular health condition which they want to keep to themselves in confidence because they want to be able to manage themselves, as people should be able to, but unfortunately they can't get information sent to them in a format they can read. So obviously this causes issues for their confidentiality in managing their own healthcare. We all know there's waiting lists in health services, that if you get sent an appointment and you don't get it sent in an accessible format so you can actually read the appointment, there's a chance that you might miss the opportunity to go to that appointment, which then might put you further back in your care provision. And also, quite frankly, it makes you feel as if you're not being treated fairly by the health service. Health boards do have policies in place. It's just the reality or perhaps of funding, for instance, to have to actually get the backup and the actual mechanisms to actually be able to provide this information when requested. What we'd like to see is a look at how we'd actually work together as a third sector, along with the health boards and the Scottish Government, to find an easy mechanism so that blind and partially sighted people, if they request an accessible format, that can actually be done in a fairly straightforward manner. It can't be beyond the wit of mankind at the moment to be able to get this set up. So we're just trying, we'd like to discuss that with the NHS and with the government about how best we can all work together to achieve that.
The report was compiled by Laura Jones. She told us a bit more about the research and some of the findings.
The report is a review of a report that RNIB Scotland did 10 years ago following the introduction of the Patients' Rights Scotland Act 2011, which now includes that people should have accessible information available to them through the health service. So I spoke to blind and partially sighted people, and that was face-to-face, online, and by like group conversations. And that was speaking to them directly about their experiences of accessible health information, how it's impacted on their lives. And alongside that, I also wrote to all 14 Scottish health boards and I asked them what policies and procedures are in place in terms of providing accessible health information for people with sight loss. So 10 of the Scottish health boards responded. Most of them have policies and procedures in place, but from the blind and partially sighted people's perspective, it was inconsistent. So we were getting completely different viewpoints from people with sight loss to the policies and procedures in place from health boards. We also heard from NHS 24 and the State Hospital as well, and they shared with us their policies and procedures, because each Scottish Health Board, just to explain, should have an accessible information policy in place. This should be a right that blind and partially sighted people have in terms of accessing their information. I'll give an example, actually. So one of our case studies shared with us that they had received a letter and actually they were poorly at the time. So this particular letter was an invitation to a hospital appointment. The letter was inaccessible to begin with, but the person was poorly at the time. So they missed this letter. When they then came to open the letter, that was because they had a visitor to their home and it actually turned out that they had missed an important appointment. So they then had to contact their health board again to get the appointment. But by this point, they then were back on the waiting list. Now, this could have caused a massive issue, knowing that some people end up losing their sight due to delays and, yeah, having to wait again. So that is something that we want to prevent. We're calling for each Scottish health board to ensure that when blind and partially sighted people request their information in accessible format, it is logged from that initial point. So they're not having to review it every time that a person with sight loss comes for an appointment.
Speaking at the event was MSP Stuart McMillan. He also convenes the Scottish Parliament's cross-party group on visual impairment, and I asked him first of all to tell us more about the group and its work.
The cross-party group tends to meet four times a year. It's very common across all the cross-party groups. We bring in politicians, we bring in people from the third sector, bring in service users to discuss relevant issues that people actually want to raise. And one of the ways I have convened the cross-party group is it's not to actually direct all the issues that we discuss. As people will be aware, I've put that request out to the membership to ask for their input in terms of the issues that they want to raise. So it's then up to the politicians to then take matters forward, whether it's through parliamentary questions or writing to the government or the health board or whomever, to try to take some of these issues forward. Here today I'm going to be speaking on behalf of the cross-party group as the convener. I'm also saddened by the contents of the report, because despite the fact that legislation was passed in 2011, there are still challenges there, and obviously health boards are clearly not doing enough to provide information in accessible formats that are required for people. And the health boards have indicated, which is reported in this publication, they've indicated the various things that they are doing to try to get information over, but obviously it's not good enough. And this report, I hope, will certainly start that conversation. One of the things I would like to do would be to put a motion down and have a members' debate on this, to take it to the floor of the Scottish Parliamentary Chamber. I also think it would be very useful for each of the health boards to obtain copies of the report. Like so this afternoon, I've got a meeting with the NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde. So I'll be taking copies of the report with me. I will hand deliver them to the Chief Executive and the Chair. I also believe it would be important for parliamentary questions to go down, but also for parliamentarians to write to each of the health boards to ask them exactly what they want to do with this, because it's not a matter now for the health boards to sit back. Health boards need to be challenged, because ultimately there are over 170,000 people who are not getting the information in the formats that they need.
But what about those who are directly affected by the lack of accessible information from the health boards? Ken and Amanda tell us about some of the positives and the negatives.
When your GP gives you texts, you know, to sort of remind you about appointments, but that's not a general sort of thing that they always do, so it's not absolutely standard, but I do like when they do that. But the bad stuff, I had a hospital operation a few years ago when I had a big leaflet, and I couldn't get it into any other format because the person who was doing it was off sick. It was a bit of a faff.
My health board has introduced e-communication, and that's my preferred format. I like to get things by email. And one department that I worked with was very good, and they were able to put all my appointment letters and reports through e-communication. They came to my computer and I could read them independently. There was no delay. It was brilliant. That was from the orthopaedic department. I'm also obviously engaged with the ophthalmology department as a living with sight loss. And when I asked them to use the e-communication system, they said, "What's that?" They had no way of accessing it and providing me with information about my eye health in an accessible format. I just thought that was just a dreadful. Like Amanda, I had surgery and an operation and all the materials going into hospital, all the care whilst I was in hospital, and the discharge was all done through inaccessible documentation. I got a post-operative infection, and I suspect, although we'll never know for sure, that that's because I didn't have a chance to read the material about how to care for my wound and how I should be managing things. And I had to go back again and get more treatment, medication, costing the NHS more money because the information that they'd given me was inaccessible to me.
Now, it may seem an obvious question, but what would Ken and Amanda like to see happen?
I get that some people don't like to have the disability sort of on the system, so that should be a choice. But if you want it to be known on the system so that everybody knows, then they know right away and you don't have to explain to them. You should be able to get things in the format that you want. I, like Ken, do prefer email or text, and that's kind of why I think that if it's on the system that you are blind, then you will get the information in the format that you require without having to go through the system, phoning them up and saying, "The thing that you've given me is not accessible. Can you please give this document or letter in the format that I require?"
If I've said I want my communication in a particular format, whether it's from a GP or any specialist department, that should be a record, a centralised record that says this patient requires their information in this format, and it should just happen, and it should happen from all departments without any need for me to request specifically on every occasion and then get told I can't have it. And it will be different formats. So if I want Braille, or if I want audio, or if I want e-communication, I should be able to choose what suits me in order that I can manage my health information in private in a suitable format.
We will continue to follow the progress of the report and what the health boards intend to do with the findings. In the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about the work of RNIB Scotland or the report Communication Failure, please go to www.rnib.org.uk/Scotland or call the helpline on 0303 123 9999.